portion of this package to pay for the, for other priorities within the budget. So that's a net decrease of $559,704 general fund, and an increase of $95,000 other funds limitation. Package 331 is a resource management package with other fund, primarily with other fund contract dollars. This would add 4.5 FTE. LFO is recommending approval with the corresponding PERS reductions of $763 other funds, $101 reduction in federal funds. Package 341 is another resource management package with using federal funds for the StreamNet program. And again, this is being recommended with approval with PERS reductions of $45 other funds and $511 of federal funds. And this package continues 3.5 FTE. On the top of page 8 of the memo and in the middle of page 34 of the spreadsheet are the cost reduction and restoration packages. In this case, the cost reduction is $658,050 other funds. There's an elimination of 5 positions, 3.83 FTE. And then in package 391, the co-chairs have provided money to restore 3 of those positions, totaling $457,180 of general fund, which would add back 3 positions and 2.5 FTE. Finally, package 362 is a package for the wildlife heritage biologists. Currently, the agency has some money left over from the establishment of those positions in the 9901 biennium. There are some indications that the agency may be able to find revenue to continue these positions either from the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board or some other funding source. LFO is recommending allowing those positions to be reestablished as limited durations in the 0103 biennium, but for the 3 months of the biennium that there is current revenue available for those programs, for those positions. So this would add 6 limited duration positions, which is the equivalent of 0.125 FTE, and it would provide $90,000 of other fund limitation to use the money that the agency currently has. If the agency can find additional revenues to continue these, then the agency can approach the emergency board for position authority and expenditure limitation. And there is a budget note associated with that package, and it is budget note 15 on page 4.
Do we do the grand totals here for the Habitat Division?
And with those recommended changes, the total LFO recommendation for the Habitat Division is $1,814,066 general fund, $2,980,017 other funds, $1,748,664 of federal fund limitation, and 36.34 FTE.
Questions, comments, or objections?
I don't know what page we're on.
34.
Madam Chair, this is
34 and 8.
This is another. I just wanted to look at the bottom line numbers. This is another section that I was, a program area, I was impressed with when we were going through the overviews. Impressed with the fact that they're short already. I mean, I thought it was fairly impressive that they were able to talk about the 7 miles of woody debris that they'd done, and then the private folks came in behind them and talked about the 100 and some miles of woody debris. Well, we need both. And they don't yet have a priority list. Well, they have a priority list of for restoration sites, but it was done prior to the ESA listings, which means it's out of date. And we can't keep denying them the staff and the funding that they need to be able to do that, or the Oregon plan is never going to get done. And so I'm looking here, and it appears to me that they're down 5.20. Is that correct? FTE?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, that's correct, and 4.0 of that reduction is due to the denial of 4 new positions that the agency requested with general fund, and given the general fund situation in the state at this point, that was not felt to be needed at this time.
I can make some comment about community solutions team that we're adding back at this point. Okay, I just want to say we have certain expectations, and we've been talking a lot about them, and I don't think in this area that we're giving the agency the ability to meet those expectations. Not that they won't do everything they possibly can, but I think that we shouldn't sit and criticize a lot when we don't give them what they need to be able to do what we're telling them to do. So I guess I'm just registering my protest that this is one section of the agency that I think needs some additional funding.
Thank you. Those are very reasonable comments, Senator Dukes.
Madam Chair, the next program unit of the agency is the number 9 on page 8, and it begins on page 35 of the spreadsheet. This is the state police enforcement. The agency generally provides a revenue to the state police to support a certain number of positions. In the governor's recommended budget, the revenue transfer for those positions would have resulted in the elimination of 7 positions. This LFO is recommending only one change to this program unit, which is an adjustment package 1, which is on page 36 of the spreadsheet. This is using a combination of savings that the emergency board directed the state police to engage in January, when the agency was directed to use general fund that was left over because the agency couldn't, because the Fish and Wildlife Division, the state police, was not going to fill 6, I believe, positions that were authorized for the last 6 months of the 9901 biennium, because there was not revenue to continue those into 0103. So the emergency board directed the department to use the general fund in lieu of using the other funds from Fish and Wildlife, so that those resources would be available in the 0103 biennium to in case there was a need to restore positions. So that is what's occurring. There's also $190,000 that is able to be shifted due to additional resources that were provided in OWEB's budget out of the capital expenditure pot of Measure 66 dollars for vehicle expenses, and then these dollars can now be used for staff purposes within Oregon State Police. So the net effect of this would be to add $601,750 of other funds to the transfer contract for the state police enforcement, which will restore 7 positions. The reason for the restoration was that there were some other changes made in the accounting documents for state police took into effect the PERS reductions and the other kinds of changes that have been made in personal services costs. And with this and the action the committee took in House Bill 5043 on lottery funds, 14 of the 21 game officer positions would be able to be restored through other funds and lottery funds. The other 7 were general funded positions and have not been addressed at this point.
If I might comment, I think that all of us put a high priority on restoring the fish and game positions, and I would very much like to compliment Mr. Rocco on this last piece that we just talked about. It took an incredible amount of work to scrape the money together to restore these positions, and there was a lot of creative thinking and a lot of kind of venturing down places that turned out to be dead ends, and turning around and trying to find other ways to do it. And in a perfect world, we would have been able to work with the state police budget to restore the seven that were general funded positions. But I think that Mr. Rocco is to be commended in funding the 14 positions that we had control over in our budgeting process. And that was a personal priority for me, and I think I reflect the members of the committee on that.
Sure.
Representative Krieger.
Probably a couple of people in the room should declare a conflict of interest. Having been there. But I wanted to give Mr. Ball an opportunity to tell us, because it was something I thought about the minute I saw the state police game division reductions. I thought, NEMPS, here they come, enforcement.
Yep.
And I wanted you to have an opportunity to tell us whether you think I was being overreactive, or is it important for the state to assume that responsibility and fill that hole with people?
Chair Morgan, Representative Krieger, as I have said many times, that if the state doesn't provide enforcement services to protect ESA and other fish and wildlife species that are not listed, then you will find the federal government intervene and enforce fish and wildlife laws. And it's been my opinion that a citizen of Oregon would much rather go to his local county of venue to appear in court, if he has to go to court, rather than going to a U.S. federal court. And I've always felt that local law enforcement issues are best left in that county of venue. So therefore, if Fish and Wildlife Enforcement is not appropriately or adequately funded, you will find intervention by the federal agencies responsible to enforce ESA laws. I think that's pretty much a guarantee.
Follow-up. I think if you even take it further, you would even talk to probably the average commercial fisherman that might get involved in some issue. And right now, with all these quotas are going on, they can find themselves not quite where they maybe should be with numbers. And I think they would rather deal with the department than a federal agency.
Senator, further questions or comments? Senator Dukes.
Madam Chair, considering the fact that this budget takes effect probably Monday, not Sunday, but somewhere in there, I was just curious as to where these reductions were going to take place. Where are these positions going to disappear from?
Chair Morgan, Senator Dukes, it's been a few months since I looked at the state police personnel roster. If I recall correctly, you will find that a position in Bend, Klamath Falls, Prineville, Fossil, and Burns will be eliminated, along with two other positions, and I'm not sure where the other two positions are. We can get that information for you. I know Lieutenant Koch from the Oregon State Police has that information. But I believe, if I recall correctly, the first five will come out of Central and Eastern Oregon, and then the two others will come out of the coast. Astoria sticks in my mind as one of the places. We can get that information to you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Representative Krieger is right. I mean, I think a lot of us got really nervous when that first National Marine Fisheries Enforcement person showed up in Oregon.
And then the second one showed up.
Oh, was there? I didn't know there was
one.
Well, there was
one for the Northwest region.
And it's just any opportunity we give them, I think you're going to see it. And so this is one more piece. As we want to protect the Oregon plan and keep going down our path, this is the kind of thing we have to do. So I'm grateful we've managed to get back as many as we have.
Madam Chair, one other interesting note, Mr. Ball can correct me, that at one time 9 of the 11 Western agents for NIMS were from OSP. Most of them are gone now. And with them went common sense.
I don't think I can underscore enough my agreement with what Representative Krieger said. We are faced with some pretty cut and dried budget realities, and it's a disappointment to me that in the state police budget, in the public safety part of the budget deliberations, that we didn't get any of these people back out of the general fund. But we've done the best that we can do, and I'm very proud of the work that was done to scrape the money together to fund these things.
Madam Chair, so the what the LFO recommendation would do would be to increase the limitation to for other funds transfer from Fish and Wildlife to to the state police to $11,464,415. And I have to put on the record there's some details that need to be worked out about that, whether it's going to be whether the money that is the $300,000 and the other money that the state police hasn't expended yet, whether that will be returned to the department and then retransferred back over or what. But we will work out those kinds of details in order to make this work. And there is a budget note. It's budget note number 10, which we're recommending including to start looking at a way to change the way the budget is built within the Department of Fish and Wildlife for officers. Right now, because it's a contract, it only gets inflated at the whatever rate of inflation is provided for general S&S and contract work, which is generally below what the cost of positions are, because positions tend to rise at a slightly faster rate of that. And so what happens is during budget development, there is always a shortfall, and there is always a strain on how much money can be provided to support a certain level of officers. And we would like to work with the agencies to find a way to come up with a system where a certain number of officers and what is the target and whatever it takes to fund those would be come forth in the budget and then be dealt with by the legislature as to whether adjust that up or down.
Further questions or comments or any objections to the state police enforcement LFO recommendation? Mr. Rocco?
The next and the last of the major divisions that needs to be discussed today is the administration division, and that is number 10 on the bottom of page 8 of the memo, and it starts on page 37 of the spreadsheet. The first change is PERS reductions of $895 general fund, $20,025 other funds, and $962 federal funds. There is an adjustment package for adjustment to essential package 030, and this is for rate changes for audits division, the DAS Human Resources Service Division, and Attorney General charges, and that amount is $5,605 of general fund reduction and $36,451 of other funds. Package 401 on page 39 of the spreadsheet. And item C on the memo is a license fee restoration package in the administration division. LFO is recommending approval of that restoration with a PERS reduction of $1,931. Package 411 is a restoration package for the one-time general fund that was provided in 9901. The governor has recommended continuing that with general fund, and legislative fiscal is recommending that those administrative positions should be funded with other funds. So there's a net fund shift there of a reduction of $156,750 of general fund to the agency and an increase of $156,750 other funds limitation. Package 422 is a resource management package to add a general fund for a COLA and an enhancement package to add two new positions. LFO is recommending denial of the two new positions. That's two positions and 2.0 FTE, and reversing the COLA costs and using that general fund that was in there for the base positions to be switched to general fund to use towards the repayment of the fish endowment account. So there's a net reduction of $639,854 of general fund and an increase of $380,000 of other funds limitation.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Senator Dukes.
I was just curious as to what these two people would have done.
Madam Chair, I believe one of the positions was a request for an internal auditor, which I'm sure you would think that the agency would need.
yeah.
And I think the other one was a human resources position. However, given the restructuring that is being anticipated for the Administrative Services Division, with additional positions being moved from the programs and into the administration section for budget functions, we're looking at seeing whether something can be done internally before we provide additional staff to the agency to do for these kinds of auditing activities. In the past, they've had less help in the central budget office, and they're going to get three additional positions. They've had some new staff brought on board, and I think that the idea is to see whether they can make internal corrections before we add more positions to the agency.
Okay. Mr. Rocco.
The next package is an LFO adjustment package numbered 002, and this is the package that would pay off the deferred for the fish endowment account loan, that the remaining balance on the loan. It's estimated that we would need $2,150,160 of general fund to pay this off. This would bring the account's balance to $3,955,229 because there is cash in the account now. And what LFO's recommendation is to put on the record that the intent is of that remaining of that balance, once this payment, general fund one-time payment, is made, that $3.5 million of the amount would be considered as the principal, the beginning principal of the new deferred maintenance sub-account that is will be discussed in Senate Bill 62. Then the remaining between the new balance and that $3.5 million of principal would be considered as interest. And under the terms of the language in Senate Bill 62, that interest would be available for hatchery and facility deferred maintenance. And at this point, the agency has provided a list of a tentative list of hatchery projects that they would use approximately $455,000 for, in order to
sounded good.
That was just a decimal point.
One they'd like.
Yeah. Well, they've been having trouble so with their decimal points lately. That's true.
So they have a list of proposals of where they would use that money start on their hatchery improvement prospects. The next two packages are cost reduction, and restoration packages. The first package would eliminate seven positions with a reduction of $1,518,615 of other funds and $129,835 of federal funds. And this is equivalent to 7.13 FTE. With money provided by the co-chairs, three of those positions are added back to the administration program, and those with an additional $523,061 of general fund.
And that is three positions and 3.13 FTE.
The next package is package 561, which is a budget reorganization. This is the net result of the other packages that you've seen in game and in one of the fish divisions that is moving the budget positions into administration. So these are three new positions in admin, 3.0 FTE. The net effect is an increase of $233,128 of general fund and $143,735 of other fund limitation. And there's an also $12,628 of federal funds. And that also applies to budget note number two. Package 563 is part of the fish screening enhancement that the committee approved with the OWEB budget of providing $4 million for the 0103 fish screening program from Measure 66. This would add one position to that program in the administration. It's a grant contract coordinator, and the intent here is to, since they're having more projects come on board, that they need somebody to keep track of those and to help find private contractors as the committee directed the agency to try to bring more private suppliers into that program. So the net expenditure here would be $104,946 of lottery fund and the addition of one position or 1.0 FTE. And this combined with the package in the natural production program would totals the $4 million of new money from Measure 66. And the final package is package 564, which is item K on page 10 of the memo, and it's on the top of page 40 of the spreadsheet. This is a limitation of $215,250 that the agency needs to finish fixing the point of sale system so that Social Security numbers are not used as an identifier in that system. They still have to have the number available because of federal law, but it cannot be used as an identification number for licenses. The total with these recommendations would be a general fund of $4,038,156 for administration, $104,946 of lottery funds limitation, $20,404,108 of other funds limitation, and $1,293,440 federal funds limitation with 106.63 FTE. We also need to note for the record that there will be some additional revenue that will appear in the department's ending balance for 9901 because of increased license and tag sales, and that was part of the discussions that the team that's worked on this has had with members and other affected parties about the increased revenue, and that revenue will go towards the ending balance that the agency needs in order to be able to make it through the next 2-year cycle. There are a number of budget notes associated with administration unit division because this is where the focus is going to be on in getting accountability from the agency. And if you look at the budget note memo, there are, I believe, 9 different budget notes affecting the administration section. The first one is directing the agency to look at the administrative structure and to consider reorganizing along functional lines. Their agency is to consult with Legislative Fiscal Office and Budget and Management on a plan that will try to accommodate the watershed model structure to address greater involvement of the regional offices in the budget development, to review structural
situations in the headquarters and to realign the administrative services program, and then to investigate integrating functions of Habitat Division into this new watershed model. Budget note number two we've discussed, which is the centralization or consolidation of budget functions within administrative services. Budget note three is directed to the agency to review the position and information control system, because as you've seen through some of these packages, the agency has a number of positions that have very small FTE amounts. And if you also recall, in the Department of Agriculture budget, the committee was able to eliminate 75 positions in that agency by consolidating these little pieces of FTE into one position. And as a position count is becoming more important in terms of the state budgeting, we feel that it would be a useful exercise for the agency to look at trying to consolidate some of these positions to drop their position count. Budget note four is a direction to provide quarterly reports to legislative, fiscal, and budget management on expenditures and revenues by division and program, as well as reporting to the emergency board on three occasions. And this is related to making sure the agency is following through with the budget as proposed and as the committee will eventually adopt. There's also a direction here that to make sure that DAS will have the allotment plan scrutinized closely to have 48% of the amount allocated in the first year and then the remainder in the second year of the biennium. And this can be adjusted by DAS, but there were problems last biennium when the allotment wasn't set up correctly, and I think this will fix that kind of an issue. Budget note number five is related to tracking revenues and use of funds in the new Fish and Wildlife Deferred Maintenance subaccount or the Fish Endowment account replacement, depending on how the decision on Senate Bill 62. And this is to make sure that there are regular reports that will identify any time a loan is made out of that account, and the length of time the loan is outstanding, the amount of interest paid back into the account, the amount of revenue transfers that are going into the new account from the wildlife fund. And this is just to make sure that that account is going to be used in the way that it was intended. Budget note number six is directing the department to provide, along with the deferred maintenance account, to provide a balance sheet of sub-accounts in the Fish and Wildlife account. This is another account that will be established in Senate Bill 62 that pulls all of the obligated and statutorily dedicated accounts out of the wildlife fund and puts them into a new account. And this way, the issues that you've heard discussed about moving funds from one account to the other because they were all in the wildlife fund will not be able to be done, because they'll be in a separate account. Budget note seven was a recommendation by the Advancing E-Government Subcommittee of Ways and Means when the department came in for a review of its information systems plan. And this budget note directs the department to work with Information Resource Management Division of Department of Administrative Services on consolidating their wide area network into the state data network. Budget note number eight is directed towards the agency to develop performance measures. I think, as you saw during the budget hearings, the performance measures have not been well developed at this point, and legislative fiscal is interested in having the agency work some more on those and try to connect them with the agency's strategic plan. Number nine is a budget note coming out of passage of or approval of Senate Bill 50, which directs the department to use all means available to mitigate personal impacts on Portland headquarters staff prior to, during, and after the relocation of the headquarters office. And there are some examples of the types of assistance that are anticipated to be provided under that.
Okay. Do you have the bottom line numbers? Did you get those already?
Yes, I did.
Are there any comments, questions, or objections to the LFO recommendations for the administration part of the budget? Mr. Rocco.
Madam Chair, the next program area is non-limited debt service, and LFO is recommending approval of the governor's recommended budget, which is a total of $2,258,015 of debt of non-limited other funds debt service.
Questions, comments, or objections to LFO's recommendations for the non-limited debt service portion of the budget? Mr. Rocco.
The next program area is capital improvement. In this area, there are only two adjustments. LFO is recommending a $143 PERS, other funds PERS reduction for the PERS rate reduction. And then adjustment package three is the other part of that discussion we had about the deferred maintenance subaccount, where the $455,229 that would be in that account above the $3.5 million principal balance would be directed to, and the agency is given limitation to spend those dollars on hatchery maintenance activities in the 2001-03 biennium.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dukes.
What's B here?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, B is a governor's recommendation to reduce hatchery maintenance efforts at obtaining other general fund for the governor's priorities. So that was a $245,302 reduction in hatchery maintenance. And I believe with that reduction, there's still about $211,000 of general fund in the base for hatchery maintenance, which when added to this additional other funds from the deferred maintenance account would provide about between $600,000 and $700,000 towards hatchery maintenance in 01-03.
So how much was there in general fund in hatchery maintenance before we pulled it out?
I believe there, Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, there would have been about $456,000, roughly.
And now there'll be the $455,000 plus $211,000
yes,
general fund?
That's correct.
Is a
further questions?
A large percentage increase over the previous spending on hatchery maintenance.
Yeah, it's probably $211,000 more than we did the year before.
Well, and plus we have hopefully some assurance this time that we actually will spend it on that.
Oh, all $211,000? Yeah, I think so.
Further comments, questions, or objections to the capital improvement recommendations from LFO?
Madam Chair, just for the record, the totals there would be $211,779 general fund, $4,555,086 other funds, and $3,144,858 federal funds, and there is one FTE in that program. And again, there was a budget note that was tied, number 11, which was tied partially to the propagation program and partially to capital improvement. And this is the note that directs the agency to review the status of the current and deferred maintenance needs at its hatchery and acclimation facilities with some other directions included.
Perhaps, Madam Chairman, the good senator from Citizen could ask the community solutions team to look into why we're not spending any money on hatchery.
Sorry. It just keeps popping up every once in a while. We couldn't get it out of subcommittee. It was that popular. But we're going to fund it with general fund dollars, but we can't keep the hatcheries going.
Just get our
priorities straight here.
In my estimation, putting the community solutions team to work on maintaining hatcheries is a wonderful solution.
Maybe if we made them meet at the hatcheries. They still wouldn't do any more good, but at least maybe they'd notice.
Further comments, questions, or any objections to the capital improvement recommendations from LFO?
Will it do any good if I object?
No.
Oh, just checking. Okay.
Mr. Rocco.
Madam Chair, then the final program unit is capital construction, and the LFO is recommending approval of the governor's budget, which is $5.1 million of federal funds limitation, which would be used at the federally funded hatcheries. And this particular limitation is included in House Bill 5029, the capital construction bill, and is not reflected in this agency's budget. It will not appear in Senate Bill 5518. However, the committee needs to approve that for its inclusion in the capital construction bill.
Okay.
Madam Chair, that is the extent of LFO's recommendations on the Department of Fish and Wildlife budget.
And does that also have the committee going through every budget note that's on this piece that you gave?
Yes, Madam Chair. All budget notes have been identified and outlined.
Okay.
The last piece of information that that the committee has before it is another memo, one-page memo with the LFO recommended amendments to Senate Bill 5518 based on these recommendations. And if you can find that in front of you, I can explain another thing that the LFO is proposing to do to provide a little more accountability to the agency. And you'll see in if you can find your original bill, you can see that under the original bill there was a line for the fish division and it had a total general fund amount. And as you've heard in the discussions that the director and others have had with members, after the agency left here last session, they went and started moving monies between the programs, between the programs within the fish division. So with this breakout that's shown on the memo, Legislative Fiscal is proposing to break the Fish Division and Wildlife Division down into their program units so that there would be a fish propagation appropriation, a fish natural production appropriation for fish marine resources, etc. Then what would happen if the agency wanted to move money between fish propagation and fish natural production, they would need to come to the emergency board and get permission to do that. So there would be some legislative oversight and not just the agency deciding to make those kinds of changes. The same is done for other funds on the changes to Section 2 at the bottom of page 1. And the same with federal funds, which is on the back side of the memo for under Section 4 changes. The only other change to the appropriation bill would be to change the amount for lottery funds, which in the governor's recommended budget was $1,688,035, and that would be changed to $10,532,273. The reason for that size of increase is funding the Oregon plan activities, the base Oregon plan activities with lottery funds instead of general fund, and the provision of $4 million new lottery funds for the 0103 biennium fish screen program, plus slightly over $2.5 million of carry forward for the fish screening program from 9901 biennium.
Well, there you have it, committee members. This has the one of the pieces here that is at the end of this long and winding road that we've been on. I've been on it since last session and through the interim, and both of you senators have been on it much longer than that. The budget is what I think a fairly amazing piece of work. It is a collaboration between the agency and the governor's office and LFO, and reflects some pretty frank discussions and some pretty stark realities that we faced. But I think that what we have all tried to do here, and I think that what we have successfully done, is to set a stage for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And the stage is comprised of the budget and the policy bills that go along with it, the ones that we'll be considering tomorrow, and the ones that are currently working their way through the system. And I think that all of us that have worked on this issue have been clear from the very beginning that the goal that we have for this agency is to make it an agency that Oregon can be proud of again, and an agency that will serve the needs that it's required to serve, and will do it in a business-like and cost-effective and accountable manner. And we have, I think, done a good job of being fair in addressing the budget issues and the policy issues that have come to light over the last whatever amount of time. It is my wish that the agency rises to the challenge that we've presented them and uses wisely the tools that we've given them, and that when we come back in the next session of the legislature and we look at this agency again, that the picture that we will see will be much different than the picture that we see right now. And with that, I would I heartily endorse this budget. I recognize the skills of the people that put a lot of hard work into it. I recognize that there is not everything in here that any of us want by any means, but there's an awful lot of good in here. And there are an awful lot of positive possibilities for the agency to move ahead with this budget. I think I'll just leave it to that and see if anyone else has anything that they'd like to say. Representative Krieger.
Madam Chair, I look at this because we knew when we came here that we were dealing with a very difficult issue. That was before Mr. Ball came on board and the turmoil that went on. I never heard once from anybody the idea that we wanted to have a punitive system for this agency in any way. We wanted to rebuild it. And his interim his position now is interim director, 36, 37, Senate Bill 50. All that was directed trying to make that happen. I'm amazed sometimes when I see Ken Rocco sitting over there with his eyes open when mine are getting dim. And I know that he's been up till 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning because these little notes on it tells me when he's been up. And I think he should be commended by all of us for his work and his dedication and the fact that he's willing to have those conversations when he's tired. He'd rather not talk to us sometimes. I really appreciate, Ken, your work. And Senator Mesley told me that this is one of the best people he ever worked with in this building.
He was right.
So, made aware we do appreciate him. I do still have a concern about the package 294 and that one position that Mr. Ball indicated that would be his number one priority getting back. And I don't know how we go about doing that, if that can be done now. If it can be, I'd like to see it done.
Representative Krieger, we have scraped every bit of money out of every dark corner that we could find.
We could take a hat out here. And
Senator Chair, can we have a brief recess?
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
Committee is recessed. calling the committee back to order. Mr. Rocco, I would direct that language be put in the budget narrative to the attention of the co-chairs in very strong language, outlining to them the importance of the one position that we were not able to restore in the interjurisdictional fisheries program, and the strong desire of the committee to have the funding restored to that position. Senator Dukes, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I appreciate this effort, and I hope that we're able to fund this one. I know, even though it frustrates me, I know that there aren't too many members in this building who have had the opportunity to focus on fish and wildlife in the last several years, but most of the members of this committee have. And so taking out the pieces that give us the Oregon plan, that keep us from having National Marine Fisheries Enforcement Officers in our state, taking over enforcement from our local police, and taking away the pieces that help our communities figure out how to live with these listings. Those things don't make any sense to me. And we are in a difficult budget time, but I know that there are budgets being crafted through a compromise process that allows things to happen that, when you compare them to other things, don't make a whole lot of sense. And so I'm interested in continuing to push for this one. That's why I asked, were there any others? If there was another one, I would have backed off, but this is just a very important piece. The Columbia River isn't going to get any better right away. And given that so many of our fisheries lawsuits are on about fish on the Columbia River, I think it's really important that we do what we can to mitigate that. So I appreciate the budget note.
Thank you very much. Representative Hayden.
Madam Chair and committee members, I move the Legislative Fiscal Office amendments to Senate Bill 5518, dated June 28th, and as discussed today.
We have a motion on the table to move the legislative fiscal recommended amendments into Senate Bill 5518. Is there discussion on the motion, Senator?
Madam Chairman, I have not voted no against a natural resource budget in three sessions. I will change that pattern today. I'll be voting no on this bill and on this budget. I've not voted no on a measure before this committee, because it's my habit to support the chairman unconditionally in her actions. However, Madam Chairman, if I might, I have a couple of questions for the director to explain my position on this budget.
By all means.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, through the chair to the director, on July 2nd, it's my understanding that we will rehire the former director into the agency.
Chair Morgan, Senator Ferrioli, yes, former Director Jim Greer has requested a position in the agency commensurate with the agreement between he and the Commission. And that request will be granted July 2nd when he returns to work at the Department of Fish and Wildlife on July 2nd.
And Madam Chairman, I understand the Department, because of the negotiations reached in agreements signed by the Commissioners, that the department has no choice in this matter.
Chair Morgan, Senator Ferrioli, that is correct. The agreement is binding, and Mr. Greer does have a position in this agency.
Madam Chairman, my no vote on the subcommittee amendments and the subsequent bill is not in reflection of my support for this agency or the current director. It has everything to do with the rehiring of what I consider to be the personal architect of the disaster in this agency. Management failures, the misappropriation, the spending of dedicated dollars, the inability to communicate or unwillingness to communicate or design not to communicate with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Commission. And legislators, the pattern of deception that was used in the last legislative session when I chaired this committee has led me to conclude that this individual has no place in this agency. And so long as there was an agreement that removed him from the agency, I was perfectly happy to accept the resolution that the commission arrived at. Because the opportunity to move forward was presented by Mr. Greer's departure. My understanding, Madam Chairman, is that in the agreement that was signed, Mr. Greer agreed to hold harmless the agency from wrongful dismissal. I'd like to ask the director if that understanding is correct.
Chair Morgan, Senator Farioli, to respond to legal opinions with respect to the agreement, I would ask that to defer to legal counsel from the Department of Justice. I'm not by any means a labor attorney, and I think they would probably be best suited to respond to any of those questions.
Thank you, Director. Madam Chairman, the agreement has been distributed to each member, and I believe each member's read the agreement. Or if you do not have copies, I'll certainly furnish copies. My read of the agreement indicates that Mr. Greer holds the agency harmless from wrongful dismissal, but I find nothing in the agreement that binds the agency not to seek a dismissal for cause of Mr. Greer should he be employed by the agency. And I intend to ask for an audit. I intend to ask the president for permission to have a request letter sent to the Secretary of State for a full audit for malfeasance in office. I intend to seek the dismissal of this individual for cause. I will be voting no on the amendments. I'll be voting no on this bill. And when the bill comes to the floor, I will be talking about having a situation where the architect of so much mismanagement finds himself back in a top executive level position in this agency. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Farioli, and I must say that I find myself waxing somewhat nostalgic here, because in the last session of the legislature, when you were sitting in my chair and I was sitting in Representative Krieger's chair, you had to pull me off of the committee because I refused to vote for the Fish and Wildlife budget.
Madam Chairman, what goes around comes around, and I'm vacating my chair.
I know, it's symbolic, sir. Payback time, Madam Chairman.
That is wonderful.
We have a motion on the floor to move the LFO recommended amendments into Senate Bill 5518. Is there any additional discussion on the amendment? Aside from the objection that Senator Farioli has registered, are there any other objections to the motion? With the objection noted, the motion is carried. Representative Hayden.
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Bill 5518 to the full Ways and Means Committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. And Madam Chair, I would request a roll call vote.
Just for the full
we'll
vote.
Do a roll call. We have a motion on the floor to move the amended version of Senate Bill 5518 to full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Would the clerks please call the roll?
Aye.
Aye.
Removed for cause.
Representative
Wessler?
Aye.
Representative Hayden?
Aye.
Krieger?
Aye.
Aye. And would the record please reflect that Representative Krupp is excused and the other members are absent. And having attained the required number of votes, the motion is passed. For carriers, I'll carry this bill in full and on the House floor, and Senator Hannan will be requested to carry the bill on the Senate floor.
You don't want it either.
Oh, come on.
And with that, we have come to a place where we can all kind of breathe a sigh of relief here.
Before I adjourn the committee, I have some things that I'd like to give to people. And the first thing I have is for Senator Farioli, who has been a wonderful mentor to me in this process.
This is a bill for all the hours I've been late. Oh, my God.
Wow. And someone who has taught me a lot about natural resources and about how the process works, and I really appreciate that. To Senator Dukes, who has become a wonderful friend of mine, and I appreciate getting to know you better and working with you.
The feeling is mutual, Madam Chair.
To Representative Hayden, who has also been a great fountain of knowledge, and we very much appreciate the experience that you bring to the committee, and just the support that you've personally given to me has been very much appreciated.
Thank you, Susan.
Representative Krieger.
Say something about a freshman, aren't you?
I was a freshman last year.
Thank you.
The last session. I have very much appreciated Representative Krieger. He's my over the partition neighbor up on the third floor on the House side. And helping him kind of find his sea legs here in the process has been a huge pleasure. And your experience in small woodlands ownership and your experience in state police, fish and game enforcement have been invaluable additions. And I look forward to serving with you in the future. I see nothing but good things on the legislative horizon because of your involvement. Ruthie, you're here every day that we have a meeting. You have kept the invoices on the tardiness and the.
I want to see his bill.
Members. And we'll just take that up at another time.
Ouch.
And finally, Mr. Rocco, without which. This would be a pretty sorry committee, I think. The knowledge that's stored in that brain is just immense. And not only the knowledge of the natural resource agencies, but the knowledge of the process and how to take a germ of an idea and turn it into something that actually has legs on it and can work within the system is it's an incredible gift. And I just shudder to think what this process would be like without you, because I truly do see you as the thin line between order and chaos here. And with that, the subcommittee gratefully presents you with this basket, which we hope will help ease the transition to normal life when all of this budget stuff is finally done.
Well, thank you very much, but I like chaos.
So. You're crazy.
And with that, I just have a small token for the members of the committee, and that's all I've got to say. And you get another box.
Thank you. That'll be truffles. Thank you.
And you've already had, yes, I mean, it's been happily eating mine.
Madam Chairman, the simple fact is that I had forgotten completely about having removed you from this committee for a
Clearly she hadn't.
But I will stand by my earlier assessment that you're a far better chairman than the last guy we had.
Thank you very much. And just so that you don't think this is the end of the road, we have one more meeting tomorrow where we'll be considering three bills. And two of them will be to do with ODF&W. One will have reference to the Department of Forestry. We are starting, Mr. Rocco, at 8 or 10.
Madam Chair, I believe it's scheduled for 10, but we just found out I think the Senate is in session at 10.
Well, that's right.
So we'll have to reevaluate, and we'll let all members know what's going on.
And having no further business before the committee, this meeting is adjourned.